The following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Good evening, everybody. It is 8:30, and welcome to the Mark Beely's The Walking Dead Online Viewing Party, Season 8, Episode 14. Tonight's show, as always, contains spoilers up through the last episode, plus things from any current AMC official promo materials. So tonight is Episode 14. After tonight, there are two episodes left of Season 8, with Episode 16 finishing up on April 15th. That's 2 weeks from tonight. Fear Season 4 will begin immediately after The Walking Dead Season 8 ends, with Fear Season 4 Episode 1 opening April 15th at 10 p.m., approximately, immediately following the season finale of Walking Dead Classic. Current theory is the front eight episodes of Fear will wrap with mid-season finale episode 8 around June 3rd, then likely will resume in mid-August so that the back half will line up with season 9 of Walking Dead, likely to begin in October. All this is based on prior patterns and could change, so stay tuned for updates and we'll let you know as we get them. And I just want to break format real quick and say that I love you guys so much that I'm here with you instead of watching Jesus Christ Superstar live on NBC tonight, because some of you may know I'm a big musicals fan and I love doing this show, so I stayed with you guys and I'll have to go DVR it and watch it later, and I'm going to be singing all night in my house. So back to the format. We start the show half hour before the new episode each week with recap from the previous episode and discussion of what is to come tonight. At 9 o'clock, we'll go dark or mute and watch tonight's new show together with episode ratings from 1 to 10 and commentary during the commercial breaks. We will also give our listeners trivia on the show as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. Our show is spoiler and comic free. Please don't discuss either spoilers or the comics in the chat or on the air. We prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about what we know from the show that is presented to us. Feel free to call in to speak with the hosts at 914-338-0314 pretty much any time tonight, but specifically if you can between 8:30 and 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. If you call during the live show, well, you will be screened and muted until the commercial break, where we can chat on the air. If the phones are not your thing, feel free to join us in our live chat room, where you will be able to listen to the show real time and also be able to go back to the link afterwards and download the episode after the fact. And I usually provide you guys on the Facebook page and on Twitter with a link to go back and get the episode. So if you're unable to join us tonight by 9 p.m., you can still go to the link later on and download the broadcast as an MP3 podcast for later listening. We probably are also on iTunes, I believe, but I will double check on that. All you have to do if you go to the link is click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right of the page. I'm going to check our chat room. Yes, I am still alone in there, but I'm sure that some of our regulars will be joining us tonight, I hope, although if they are watching the musical, like I'm not, it's fine, I understand. So tonight's episode 14 is entitled Still Gotta Mean Something. The official AMC synopsis is, and here we go with another different word for Jadis's people. A Heaps prisoner makes a discovery. Carol searches for someone in the nearby forest. Rick and Morgan find themselves in the company of strangers. So, hold on. I'm going to pull up a different article than I had. I have one waiting for you guys, but it's a little bit ahead of what I wanted to actually talk about. So, let me change the link up real quick. There we go. That is the article I wanted first. So, that's the official synopsis. And as often happens, comicbook.com will have additional material speaking to that. So I'll read that to you guys. This is by Brandon Davis, who often does Walking Dead stuff. This was posted today, earlier today, and the title is just, you know, Walking Dead Season 8, blah, 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 title, so forth. Okay, and we are not going to bother reading the synopsis again because I just read it to you. So I'm skipping down. After that, the episode will see several interesting character pairings in addition to Rick and Morgan's quest to kill the remaining saviors. They have a gallery on there where you can see some photos for tonight's episode. And as some of you may know who actually do the chat room, I capture some of those photos very often, and I will put them up because there is a mechanic to do a bit of a screensaver thing above the chat where you have photos from the show, and I usually do that. So the photos they're talking about are up in the revolving carousel of photos. So this is the additional synopsis from comicbook.com. With only three episodes left in Season 8 of The Walking Dead, the all-out war saga will begin to show signs of its conclusion in Episode 8-14. However, strongly written dialogue will offer some of the most significant character development on the AMC series this season. As the synopsis points out, Carol will be on a search for someone near the forest. Given her current scenario, this will likely be a search similar to that of The Walking Dead second season. With Henry missing after accidentally freeing the saviors from their hilltop captivity, accidentally, quote, Carol's search probably will be reminiscent of her search for Sophia. Meanwhile, Jadis and Negan will be revisited after the savior leader was seen in the former ruler of the trash heap's front seat as a prisoner. And that is the extent of the summary from them. And then I had one more that I want to grab for you guys. Now, this is a teeny tiny bit spoilery. However, it is directly from AMC, from their website. And so I assume that they don't mind because they put it out there. So let me pull that up for you guys. And this one is sneak peek of The Walking Dead episode 14. Daryl wants to go hand-to-hand against the saviors. And yes, that is in the promo video clips. So what it says is the saviors' last attack exhausted the survivors and diminished their ammo supplies, but there's still plenty of fight left in Daryl. He wants to go hand-to-hand in the next battle. Unfortunately, Rosita realizes the saviors possess a certain mulleted bullet maker in the sneak peek of Sunday's on the episode. There's a link, and you can see the sneak preview video there. She has a plan to make sure Eugene's bullets never make it into Negan's guns. Pardon me just a moment. Sorry about that. In the clip, she explains what she has in mind. So if you guys want to go to the AMC website and take a peek, you can see what she's talking about. I'm not going to summarize it for you. So that is the extended summary. I'm going to check my chat room. Still alone. So we'll go ahead and continue with the notes. This section is writers and directors' profiles. As I often mention, most of the time we used to not get the writers and directors named in advance, but they've been better about it in Season 8, so I'm more able to give you some information on the people putting together tonight's show. So the director for tonight is Eddie Guzelian, G-U-Z-E-L-I-A-N, and the writer is Michael Satrazemis. Michael's name may sound familiar from an article I started to read about Melissa McBride last week, and I cut it because there was a little bit of spoilery stuff in it, but I'm going to reread it tonight now that that episode's over. So here are the profiles on them. Eddie Guzelian's biography online is not very detailed. He is a writer and producer known for Blood Punch in 2014, which won the Hoboken International Film Festival 2014 Award, New Orleans Horror Film Festival 2014 Jury Award, and Dances with Films 2014 Audience Award. He's also known for Power Rangers RPM in 2009 and The Penguins of Madagascar 2008, which was a Daytime Emmy nominee. Guzelian, who wrote family movies such as Lilo and Stitch 2 and The Tigger Movie, ended up the original showrunner for a languishing Power Rangers new Disney property franchise back in the early 2000s. This is now his second time working on anything in the Walking Dead franchise, the first episode being Dead or Alive, or which was Season 8, Episode 11, just a couple episodes ago. Michael Edison Satrazemus, nicknamed Satro, is known for his work on The Walking Dead, The Crow movie from 94, and Anchorman 2, The Legend Continues from 2013. He has done camera work for many TV shows and movies, also including My Cousin Vinny, Leverage, The Vampire Diaries, Teen Wolf. He directed an episode of Stranger Things and more. Mike has been some form of camera operator for 15 episodes of The Walking Dead, starting with Guts, Season 1, Episode 2 in 2010. He has been second unit director of photography for 3 episodes till 2013. He then became director of photography from 2013 to 2017, ending with Monsters, Season 8, Episode 3. He has directed 11 prior episodes of The Walking Dead, starting with The Grove, Season 4, Episode 14, you know, look at the flowers, Lizzie, and up until mid-season finale, How It's Gotta Be, Season 8, Episode 8. He last worked together with Gazellian directing Season 8, Episode 11, Dead or Alive War. So they worked on that together just a couple episodes ago. All right, I'm going to check the chat room, and then we will get to trivia. Okay, still alone, all alone, forever alone. I'm just kidding. Okay, so next is trivia. And as often goes, I have limited trivia for tonight's episode because of spoilers, so we'll also be going over stuff from last week that I did not have last week. So tonight's episode will be the 113th episode of the series overall. This particular episode is 75 minutes long, another extended episode, which is becoming the norm, to be honest. I actually have no memory now of the last time it wasn't extended at least a little. So it's the 11th extended episode this season, and we're on episode 13, so there's only two that weren't. And the 29th extended episode ever for this series. So last week's trivia for episode 13, Do Not Send Us Astray. Pardon. Elizabeth Ludlow, who plays Arat, A-R-A-T, is upgraded from co-star to also starring in this episode. Talking Dead revealed that there were 20 Savior extras armed with bows and more than 30 Savior extras with tainted handheld weapons, putting the Savior army that attacked the hilltop at approximately 50 soldiers. Additionally, Lauren Cohen stated that about 50% of the attacking Saviors were killed off by the militia. This episode references previous events, as been happening pretty much all of Season 8. Morgan seeing a deceased Gavin with the wound that killed him is a reference to when Tyrese had hallucinations of deceased people in What Happened and What's Going On, including the Governor, Micah, Lizzie, Beth Green, and Martin, all of them still having their fatal wounds. The Governor gets mentioned for the first time since appearing in the episode What Happened and What's Going On, which was Season 5, Episode 9. This is also the first episode since Twice as Far, Season 6, Episode 14, where Merle Dixon has been mentioned. People unexpectedly dying, reanimating while everyone is sleeping and attacking is a reference to the events in the episode Infected, Season 4, Episode 2. In the prison, when people began dying of the prison flu suddenly. I don't recall that that ever was really understood before they had to leave. So that may be an interesting overarching plot point that has never been addressed yet. Maggie refers to herself as the widow while talking to Simon, which is the Savior's name for Maggie, as seen in several episodes. I know that she has had that said in front of her, so I'm not surprised she knew it or anything like that. Okay. This is back to the trivia that's not harkening back to other episodes. So this one is interesting. The title of the episode comes from the Islamic prayer that Sadiq is trying to tell Rick about. It's part of an Islamic prayer for the dead. And the full line goes, actually, I'm going to read you the entire passage, which I looked up because I have, my best friend is Muslim, so I was able to get some data on this. And it is from, these are arranged like books in the Bible. So when I say a name and numbers, think of it like the name of the book, chapter 1, verse such and such. So it's from Ibn Majah, I-B-N space M-A-J-A-H, 1/480, and also references Ahmad 2/368. And the full passage, the full prayer goes, Allah forgive our living and our dead, those who are with us and those who are absent, our young and our old, our menfolk and our womenfolk. O Allah, whomever you give life from among us, give him life in Islam. And whomever you take away from us, take him away in faith. And here's where the title comes from. O Allah, do not forbid us their reward and do not send us astray after them. So that's where they get the title from. This episode featured the first use of Rick's hatchet in killing humans. During the attack on Hilltop, Rick killed three saviors with it. Prior to this episode, last week, Rick had only killed walkers with it. Check over in the chat room, still alone. I imagine people are going to wander in pretty close to 9 o'clock. So I have a list here I want to read just to give some props. It is uncredited cast from episode 13. There are quite a few. I assume uncredited refers to IMDb, so I just want to give them a small shout out. It's a little bit long, but that's okay. So Nadine Marissa plays Nabila. Curtis Jackson is Bob Miller. Stacy Crowder is a savior. Gerard Mason is Savior Defector 1. Angela Gay is Savior Defector 2. I don't know how to pronounce this name. It's N as in Nancy, M as in Mary, G. Garcia as Savior Defector 3. Joseph Levine as Savior Defector 4. Tasha Wadowan as Bow Savior. Dalton Baxter as Hilltop Resident. Matthew Zarnowski as Hilltop Resident. Francesca Arroyo as Hilltop Resident. I assume they didn't have numbers like the Savior Defectors. Brad Bradley as Hilltop Resident. Ketan Patel as a Hilltop Resident. Cassidy Balcom as a Hilltop Resident. The next three are also David Jones, Jennifer Angel, and Kevin Harrison are Hilltop residents. Next four are Alexandria residents that were not credited. Ethan Stormant, Amy Stormant, Jennifer Davis Brennan, and John Flanagan. Those are Alexandria residents. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the next five are Kingdom residents that were not credited. So Mary Ducoteau, Michelle Hartwig Rich, Carol Bruckner, Terry Jo Kennedy, and Perry Johnson are Kingdom residents that were not credited. Jessica Medina was a savior. Timothy Carr was a savior. And Rochelle Elledge Sanders was a savior. And there are no goofs or errors or bloopers listed for episode 13. I'm going to check over in the chat room. Still alone, so let's go on to the next notes. I do have a couple of articles for Fear now. I may read them to you guys next week in preparation for 2 weeks from now. Let's do that. Because I really don't want to get into too much until we get close to it. And the usual disclaimer, red machete, you blew it. Please do better, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Cast birthdays this week. Just two. Alexa Helen Nicholas, who played Haley, who was a Woodbury guard. Her birthday will be April 4th, and she is from Chicago. And Michael Rooker, who played Merle, April 6th, and he's from Jasper, Alabama. So let me get some applause over there and wish these guys a happy birthday coming up this week. Thank you, guys. All your hard work on the show, and we appreciate you very much. Reminder to our listeners, please join us again next Sunday, April 8th at the usual 8:30 p.m. for episode 15 called Worth. There's two episodes remaining after tonight. Number 15 next week called Worth. And the summary is, with the threat of the Savior still looming, Aaron continues searching for allies. Daryl and Rosita take action and confront an old friend. And based on promo materials I have seen officially from AMC, the chances are likely that this is going to be Eugene. But they don't say that outright. It's just implied. Number 16, the season finale, in 2 weeks, April 15th, is called Wrath. And the summary is, the communities join forces in the last stand against the Saviors as all-out war unfolds. Now, I do not have a summary for Fear, Episode 1, Season 4, but the title is called What's Your Story? And this will air immediately following Wrath in 2 weeks. So on the 15th, be sure to take a little catnap during the day and stay up with us and watch both episodes back-to-back. In featured music, which I try to track for you guys, they didn't really identify any songs from last week, so we don't have any entries for that. And now we are getting to discussion links, and I'm going to pull up the Melissa McBride article that I paused on you guys the other week. And that way, you know, the episode's over, I can read it to you now, and I'm not spoiling anything. So this was entitled Melissa McBride, pardon my hiccups, sorry, explains time on Fear, the Walking Dead set. This was by Brandon Davis, but it was written on March 23rd. And I held it, even though it was written several days ago, because it said some things about last week's episode a little too early. So I didn't get to finish reading it last week, so I'm going to go ahead and read it again tonight. Back in January, The Walking Dead fans had thought Melissa McBride might be joining the Fear Walking Dead sibling series. This is before we knew that it was going to be Lenny James. After the actress was spotted on set, McBride has now revealed the reasoning for her time spent on the Austin, Texas set. I was out there shadowing Michael Satrazemis, who is tonight's director. No, he's not the director, he's the writer. Let me double check that and make sure I tell you guys the correct things. Pardon me. He is the writer tonight, but he has directed, and he is directing an episode of Fear that's coming up. McBride told comicbook.com, I went out there for about 3 weeks to shadow him while he directed. As it turns out, McBride is interested in directing a project of her own, though she can't quite reveal what it is just yet. Whether or not she will be in charge of an upcoming episode of The Walking Dead or Fear the Walking Dead is entirely unknown, and would be a purely speculative claim at this point. I should hope so. Ultimately, though, McBride is sad to see her co-star Lenny James leaving the flagship zombie drama for the crossover event, beginning with Fear the Walking Dead's fourth season. She says, I just love Lenny and I love his face. I love his eyes are so soulful, and it's always a remarkable thing to work with him, McBride said. So present, always so present as Morgan. With only 4 episodes remaining in The Walking Dead's 8th season, and that was when this was written, that was true, the AMC series is gearing for production of its 9th season, which will begin shooting in late April. So end of this next coming month, they're going to start shooting for the stuff in the fall. Should McBride's Carol Pelletier survive the conclusion of Rick and Negan's all-out war feud, she will be headed back to set in just a few weeks. And that is the end of that article. Let me check the chat room. Still alone. So let me pull another article up for you guys. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to move this down so that I know that I have read it to you. So if you guys will bear with me just a hot minute, I'm going to take care of that now so I don't lose my place in what I'm doing. Okay. Let's pop that down here as used. And let me pull up the next one for you that I have. This one is from comicbook.com, and it's talking about the season finale, but in a non-spoilery way, but I just didn't want to get into it too soon. Okay, so I'm pulling that up, and this is another one from Brandon Davis on the 23rd. It says, Walking Dead Season 8 Finale Extended. And he says, The Walking Dead Season 8's finale's runtime has been revealed, debuting before an extended Season 4 premiere of Fear the Walking Dead. So, as I mentioned earlier, I thought the 10 o'clock deadline was going to be tentative, and that is true. So, plan for the 15th, Brandon says, The Walking Dead episode 816 is titled Wrath, and will broadcast at AMC from 9 through 10:10 p.m. So it's going to run 10 minutes over. And then Fear the Walking Dead's What's Your Story, episode 401, begins right after that, and that will broadcast through 11:17 p.m. So it will probably start a couple minutes after 10:10, so they had their little commercial break and so on. And then it will run through 11:17. So Sunday the 15th, we're probably going to be not wanting to think about our taxes anyway. So good, we have something else to do. So the rest of the article says, The Walking Dead Season 8 finale, leading directly into Fear the Walking Dead Season 4 premiere, is an intentional move to hook viewers for the journey of Morgan Jones as his crossover to the sibling series begins. Incidentally, both episodes will play in theaters with tickets available via Fathom Events. There are four things that happen that could be the finale, and they all go off at once at the same time, Daryl Dixon, actor Norman Reedus, told EW. They head in different directions, and they're all individually as good as the next, and they're all very, very satisfying. I like that about it. I like that it's not just one person's story. There are probably four, maybe five different directions that the show could have ended on, and it went in all of them. It's very satisfying. The episode is being billed as the conclusion to the long-running feud between Rick and Negan, as the all-out war dust will finally settle as the bad blood has been boiling since the season 6 finale in April of 2016. The Walking Dead showrunner Scott Gimple, who exits the role in favor of a promotion to chief content officer after season 8, expressed similar sentiments to Reedus's regarding the finale season 8 episode. Quote, it's very big, Gimple said. Probably currently a little too big. It was pretty amazing the scope of some of the things that we got to do, and yet the emotional intensity was insane. And it very much sets up the start of the next story. And that's all he says. In conclusion, check in the chat room. We are by ourselves. It is 8:58. We're almost going to be going to the live show. So I am just going to move this article so that we don't repeat. And I probably am going to go ahead and wrap it up real quick so that we can go ahead and focus on the new episode for this week. There's Gavin in there. You know what it is. You know what it is, Morgan. So that stuff is going on. And then I have three other articles that I feel, I had notes that they're spoilery, but I think they were spoilery for last week. So it's safe to read them now. But I'm not going to do that until after we get to the commercial break. I'll go ahead and set those up for you. One is from The Guardian, and that one just says, Walking Dead Season 8, Episode 13 Recap, Do Not Send Us Astray. And I will set that up for you guys to play with during the commercial break. I may have read portions of these to you guys and stopped because I felt it was too spoilery. Okay, it is 8:59. And I'm going to go ahead and go dark, and I will see you guys at the first commercial break. Okay, guys, it's 9:04, and we are back at the first commercial break already. We have a guest in the chat room who may be a friend of mine, but he's still working on logging in. I'm going to give my scores from 1 to 10 for the opening, and I'm just going to say 5.5 because not a whole lot happened. But I do like what was happening so far. I was actually surprised to see that we're following up a teeny bit with Jadis and Negan. And, oh, God, I've lost track of the other scene already. I'm so sorry. But at any rate, so I have 5.5 up there. Guest 1142, if you're able to log back in and join us, I know some people have had some trouble with the flash on the website that runs our show. So I'm going to go back to the article that I said I was going to read to you guys. Let me check on my friend real quick. Okay. Friend is in on Chrome. Dual browser works. If you are able to hear me, I don't know if you are, but I know one of our regulars, Kelly, will often log in, one on Chrome and one on another browser, and that seems to help. But if you're not able to make that work, then hopefully you can listen to us after the fact. So I'm going to have a little applause to welcome you, because I know it's been frustrating trying to go ahead and get logged on. And unfortunately, I don't know enough about the tech of the website to be able to help out with that. But it's 9:06 and we're not quite back yet, so I'm going to switch over to TheGuardian.com. Had an article regarding last week's episode, but I had pulled it because I felt it was too spoilery before the fact. So it's called The Walking Dead Season 8, Episode 13, Recap, Do Not Send Us Astray. This week was a game of three halves, which combined to produce one of the most satisfying installments so far this series. They have a spoiler alert here, so I don't know why they posted it before the episode. But anyway, let me jump down, because I never fully grasped fractions. I'm going to describe Do Not Send Us Astray as an episode of three distinct halves. The first was very shooty, full of action and noise and exciting machine gun kaboomery. The middle was very talky slow, but essential in balancing the pace. And the third was very zombie-y, with lots of, zombies in it. And there is a pink woman on the commercial. And sorry, there's giant bows, and I'm very frightened. Each chunk certainly suffered from its own respective creaks and niggles. This is The Walking Dead, so expecting perfection seems frankly stupid. But all three halves coalesced to form what was, for me, one of the most satisfying installments so far this series. So strap yourselves in, dear reader, because a positive review might be just about to happen. Actually, I forgot to give credit for this article. It's from Luke Holland on March 26th. And this is another one of the articles that I believe I may have started for you guys, and I felt that I should stop before the episode was over. But now we can talk about it, because episode 13 is done. So the siege of Hilltop was exactly the action-heavy kick-up-the-bum the episode needed to grab our attention and hold on to it through the quieter scenes to come. We have a commercial for Fear, so we may be going back in just a moment, and I'm going to check on that before I start the next sentence. Otherwise, I'll read it to you at commercial break number two. There's some interesting interactions going on here with Morgan and Nick and funny things, so... I think we're about to go back in a second. Okay, I'm going dark. I'll see you guys at break number two. Okay, it's 9:17, and we are finally at commercial break number two. So we're going to go ahead and get those scores up. And I have 5.5 from the last one. I'm willing to go to 6. But I think I'm going to be hovering at 6 for a little bit. We had quite a little interesting tete-a-tete with Jadis and Negan ending out that particular chunk. I'm not really sure what I make of Rick running off and Morgan running off and Carol saying, oh, Maggie needs me, and now she's running off. I know we have to look for Henry. This is all fine and well. But that's where I am right now with things. And I'm going to go back over to the article I was reading, you guys, and pick back up while we're doing the break. And let me take a look here. Oh, yes. Okay. So, yes, when you demonstrably have radios, choosing to use car horns for communication displays the kind of thinking you normally expect from someone whose mittens are connected by a string. And personally, I'd have planted a few million tons of TNT right by the stinger that popped the Savior's convoy tires. But hey-ho. And I actually commented the last time I read this that I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to pull a few million tons of TNT right out of my arse. But okay. Maybe the Hilltoppers haven't repelled as many sieges as I have. I don't know that the author's done any sieges, but okay. Nevertheless, none of this diminished the goofy enjoyment of watching the extent to which Xavier tactics are reduced to charge under the unhinged stewardship of Simon. The light going out was clearly a trap, one which Negan would have never fallen for in a million years. Nor would old Negs have given the imprisoned Saviors cause to turn against him by throwing him to the sadly metaphorical dogs. It's interesting to see how much the comparatively cool-headed Negan was actually holding the Saviors together as leader and tactician. Simon's comeuppance is surely imminent, either at the hands of Negan or Dwight, but if his presumably brief tenure results in crash-bang wallops such as this, Simon's Saviors will do just fine for a while. I'm checking in the chat room, and one of our friends who's trying to log in may have given up for the moment. I'm sorry to see that, but hopefully he'll be back with us soon. So I'm going to continue with the article, and we have a commercial going on, so I think we can do that for at least another minute or two. So despite major characters, Simon included, being smothered in the usual overcoats of irritating plot armor, this particular gunfight at least felt like it had consequence. And we're probably not going to do too much more because we're having a promo for something else. Lots of people died. It wasn't one of the aimless 18 bullet showers of Walking Dead's past and was all the better for that. Still a commercial. Going to continue. I'd also argue to my dying breath that any episode in which Daryl mounts a machine gun to his motorbike's handlebars and sprays bullets like a beautiful, bewheeled Spitfire is literally impossible to hate. Likewise, Rick steaming into the malaise, guns blazing, was a much-needed reminder that Grimes Sr. can be, on his day, a death-dealing daddy cool. Most of the main players got a chance to shine, and it was fairly great. It harked back to the brainless, idiotically enjoyable action of the first few episodes of the season, only with more at stake. It was very watchable indeed. Another commercial, so I will continue. I'm also enjoying how Dwight's intentions are becoming increasingly ambiguous, as he passed up the opportunity to kill Simon when the two of them were making a beeline for Tara. Tara and Daryl's sudden reappraisals of Dwight seem a tad forced, but Dwight remains in an interesting shade of gray in the blacks and whites of the Saviors and the Rickrollers. Cute nickname. Is Dwight merely biding his time? We are back. I'll read you the rest at the third break. It is 9:28. I'm at break number 3, and I am having a little chat room issue. So I know everybody's been having a little bit of a chat room issue, so I cannot give my score typing at the moment because I am fighting to log back in. But I had 5.5 and then 6. I'm going to go to 6.5 because Jadis and Negan, but they are really inching and milking that. And I really wish they would just take the chain off and let those two have their thing, whatever's going on. Not really sure where she's going with that. And I missed something tending to the chat window. I'm not really sure exactly what happened with Jadis having Negan somewhere where I could hear walkers and having him near a flare and a gun, but still tied up, and photographs. And I don't know if those are the photographs that Rick took or that Negan took. He said something about near and dear, so I'm assuming it's the ones Rick took, because Negan would know what the hell they were if he took them. And I'm going to valiantly continue to try to log in and see if I can do something. This has been frustrating for all of us, and I'm really sorry about that. There's the perils of using Flash on this website. I get logged in, sometimes it works, and then something goes wrong. All right, so there's two guests in the chat, and we can't really see each other. The latest episode of Red Machete is currently on at 9:29 now. And now this is weird and mildly annoying. I don't remember her having re-killed anybody with it. I thought that was over. So this is stuff that was not on the AMC promo version of that. I don't know what's going on with that. They are really making me nuts. So that is my opinion on that. I've been very disappointed in how Red Machete was executed, and I don't think anybody involved with the mechanics of the show actually listens to my babble. But If you happen to, I really wish you would go back to the old format. I have harped on this and harped on this. I know this season is in the can, but hopefully if you guys do this over again at any point, you will be able to fix it for next season. I really hope. And I don't really know what else to say about that. I am going to try to get back in the chat room. Not really sure what's going on. I'm having a little trouble with the logins. We have a Mountain Dew commercial, so I'm going to check and see if the article is over. Let's see. No. Okay, I have a little bit to read to you guys yet. So let's see. Dwight Biding's time. Or does he Simon is key in his revenge to Negan? Okay. My guess is the former, but I'm an idiot who's wrong about most things, so don't at me if I'm wrong about this. And that's a social media reference. Once the shooting stopped and the saviors were ostensibly running for their lives, things eased down to a simmer, and I worried that this was for the rest of the episode. Half hour of the sorts of portentous, ham-laden slabs of dialogue that have killed storyline stone dead in the past. And we have a Talking Dead thing, and then we are back. So I will see you guys at break number 4. Okay, guys, it's 9:40. It is commercial break number 4. Remember that tonight's episode is running about 70 to 75 minutes with commercials. And so we are going to run over a good 15 to 20 minutes after 10. So we've got about a half hour-ish of the show left. I know that a friend of ours, Larry Fleming, who is featured extra in the last few episodes with Simon's people, has been trying to get onto the show to talk to us. And one of our other regulars has been trying as well, and it's not going so well, but I want to give you guys applause. And really, really wish I knew how to tell you to fix the technical stuff. I'm in on the master board account, and so how I log in is a little bit different. And I don't know how you guys are calling in. I've started calling in Skype, and then I had problems. And I used Google Voice for a little bit. And then the Skype thing came back, and I've been doing that since. I am going to finish up the article from The Guardian while we have a commercial break. And if you guys can hear me and you want to say anything in the chat room, oh, let me get my score up before I do anything else. So I said 6.25 from typing, break number 3. And I'm going to go 6.75 for this break number 4. Just so I can keep track. And let me go back to the article, and I'll read you the last little bit here. So, once the shooting stopped and the saviors were ostensibly running for their lives. Oh, no, I already read this to you. That's halfway down the paragraph. I apologize. So, Rick and Sadiq, Rick and Michonne, Carol and that bloke she used to go out with, whose name Google informs me is Tobin. Yeah, a lot of us kind of lost track of Tobin. He didn't matter except for a really forced plot line with Carol, and none of us have been a big fan of that, to be honest. And we knew the saviors had poisoned their weaponry with zombie goo, but the fact that ensuing infection wasn't dragged out for 3 lumping episodes of people doing big emotions at each other came as a pleasant surprise. A couple of ensuing deaths were the biggest misfires here, mainly because you can't suddenly elevate a bit part to a main character, have us care about them, and then kill them off within 5 minutes. Oh, by the way, the Walking Dead Rewards fan club password just went off and I missed it, but if you go back at 9:42, you will be able to see it. There is a trailer for a movie on April 13th starring The Rock and some other stuff I don't understand. It looks like another King Kong reboot, and I'm not really sure what's going on with that, but it probably means we're going to be back in a minute, so I'm going to wait and reading this until we find out if we have another commercial or if we go back. We have another commercial. So, as Tobin succumbed to... Oh, I completely forgotten Tobin and Dr. Dita ever existed. So, neither death carried any weight whatsoever. As Tobin succumbed to the fever and became Carol's zombie boyfriend, at Lisi's death served a larger, nastier purpose, leading events towards the creepiest zombie scene the show's given us in quite some time. Larry actually is in the chat and able to talk, so he scored the scene a little higher because his character is still alive, and I am so glad to hear that. So I'm going to say yay for the featurettes and it's all alive. Very, very glad for you. Looking forward to more little snips of you hovering around and doing things. But we are back, so I'm going to shut up, and I'll see you guys at break number five. .955, commercial break number five, and let's get some scores up if you can. Larry, if you're paying attention, you want to score the show how we usually do, you are welcome to do so. I am going to go to seven, and I think I may kind of be hovering there for the rest of the episode, but we'll see. We still have a good 15 minutes, ostensibly, so things can change, but that's all fine and well. And I'm going to see, guys, I have not finished the article, so let me go ahead and finish that off for you guys. Let's see. Okay, here we go. If I were nitpicking, and I am because basically that's what reviewing is, I'd argue that right after a pitched battle and amid a general wider zombie apocalypse, a house full of people probably wouldn't think it was okay to fall asleep with the front door open. No one in history has ever snoozed that deeply without the aid of 15 pints of strong Belgian lager either. Zombies, too, appear to have been to Cat Burglar School, star full disclosure, not a real school, because all of a sudden they basically became a silent troop of undead sneak ninjas. But sod it, these leaps of logic allowed for a genuinely grisly, they misspelled that, it's not like bear, it's grisly, nighttime assault, once, which might be quite an accurate description of a lot of people's actual worst nightmare. Once the screaming began, it was chaotic, dark, claustrophobic, gory, grueling, and disturbing, with enough close-ups of zombie injuries, to keep the company which supplies the fake blood financially buoyant for decades to come. Felt like a proper horror movie. I loved it. I enjoyed it so much that I'm going to overlook the spitty bowtie overacting guff that was Morgan's hallucinations. I'm also not going to dwell on how much I hate Henry, or question why TV shows in general, and this one in particular, constantly feel it's necessary to have a precocious, Marty-arsed teenager messing things up for everyone. I don't know what Marty-arsed is. Obviously, guy who wrote this, Luke Holland, is not American. Actually, let me check on Luke's bio real quick while we got a hot second. As a freelance writer for The Guardian, does not really mention his bio per se. I'm going to take a quick peek at his Twitter and see if that might mention something. Just as freelance, pop culture, gimp, human cringe, views, etc. Oh, he's in London. Okay, that explains the weird slang. So anyway, let me get back to the article real quick because we may be going back to the TV show in just a hot second. It was too much to like here for flies in the ointment such as these to sink the ship. And as a side note, I saved you this turnip is my new favorite line of dialogue that's ever been spoken by a human person. And that was the scene between Michonne and Rick. I don't know that I concur with him, but he's being kind of sarcastic about quite a bit of this. So now I find myself in an unfamiliar position. Not only am I looking forward to next week's episode, but I really don't mind who it chooses to focus its attention on. There's interesting stuff happening everywhere. The saviors will be licking their wounds after their pharic victory. Negan's still road tripping with Jadis. Half the prisoners have escaped. Henry's sodded off somewhere and will hopefully stay there. And things are looking awfully bad for Tara. Lovely stuff all around. That's a lot to get going through in the three episodes remaining. Bring it on. Okay, that's the end of that article. We are back, and I will probably see you guys at break number six. Okay, guys, 10:03, and it's commercial break number 6. And I'm going to stay with my 7. And I'm going to give you a couple of little quick observations. I do not get what the whole Jadis and Negan thing was. I know she's been odd. And then I've never figured out why she was so affected the way she was. And by this, I don't mean that things affected her. I mean that she had affectations, like her haircut and the way that she spoke and the way that everyone was dressed. And then when she lost everybody, she just snapped out of it like it was some artistic thing she's doing. We have an AMC trailer, which I guess is for, yeah, it's probably going to be for the crossover episode on the 15th. And we are not going back yet. They just had that stuck in the middle. Yes, and Sir Larry says in the chat, I'm glad he made it. Carl was enough. Yes, and we are not super big fans of when the kids have stuff happen to them, although let's be real, in this kind of universe, it's kind of a thing that you expect. Okay, now I'm not sure. Oh, good, that's a commercial. All righty. We have finished that one article. It's 10:04, so we might have time for one more, but I don't really know about that. I'm going to pull off the one spoiler article that I had. I'm not spoiler anymore because it was spoiler for last week. Okay, so I've pulled that one out into the done pile. I'm going to see what I got left. This is one that I also pulled because it was spoilery last week, but now you've seen episode 13. It won't be. I'm going to put that up, and I don't know if we'll have time to read it or not. We have a detergent commercial. Oh, we're Talking Dead. Usually I have my subtitles on, but I cannot see who is on the couch with Chris. Oh, Jadis is on the couch with Chris, and I don't recognize who's to the left of her. It's a black gentleman, and it was too quick. And we'll probably have a third person. And my subtitles completely failed me, so I don't know who's on the couch tonight, but we'll find out soon. So I'm going to check in the chat room, see there are no further comments. I have a quick article from comicbook.com, and this is by Cameron Bonamola, who does a lot of their articles. This is from the 24th, and says, The Walking Dead 813 clip introduces a new doctor. And I started to read this to you guys because this scene was actually from the beginning of last week, so we could get to it, but I pulled it for some later stuff that didn't happen until later in the episode. So anyhow, ET Canada, and that's Entertainment Tonight, has debuted the latest clip from The Walking Dead 813, pitting newcomer Sadiq, Avi Nash, against the Kurt doctor as the community prepares for the arrival of the saviors. I didn't know they had some random woman doctor running around. And CarMax has a unicorn van. I would like that unicorn van, but it's probably not for sale. Anyway, I don't know who this female doctor was that was sassing Sadiq. But at any rate, Sadiq enters the medical trailer holding a pile of blankets. A busy woman stocks a medicine cabinet. I'm going to check and see. Okay, we have. Okay, that's a commercial. Not there. Those go in the corner. Would you say your specialty was? He says, I was a second-year EM, emergency medicine resident. Sadiq is cut off. So you never performed surgery? 3 times. Amputations? No, but I can figure it out. And we are back. So I will see you guys at break number 7. Okay, guys, 10:15, and we are at the end of the episode. Final score is 7 from me. Nobody else in the chat was giving numbered scores, so we're going to go with that. Wanted to let you know that our friend Larry is not in any more episodes this season because he was killed off. And I actually missed it, and I feel a little bad about that because I try to keep track of those things. But at any rate, let's give him a round of applause for finally getting in the chat. And I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up because we are actually over the hour. And I want you guys to be able to go and watch The Talking Dead. So thank you for everything. And we will see you guys next week on the 8th. And that is for the episode called Worth, I believe. And I will see you guys next week. Thanks for joining us.